कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने कृष्णपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रकारिणे नवशेषून्यवादे पाश्चात्यादेशकारिणे नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशकारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव कवि गो भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव कवि गो भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव कवि गो भक्तवृंद चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव कवि घोर भक्त बंदा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे
हरे
हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे
जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय గోపీ జనవల్లభ జయ గిరివర ధారీ జయ గిరివర ధారీ జయ గోపీ జనవల్లభ జయ గిరివర ధారీ జయ గిరివర ధారీ జయ గోపీ జనవల్లభ జయ గిరివర ధారీ జయ గిరివర ధారీ జయ యశోద నందన వ్రజ జన రంజన 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 యమున తీర వనచారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారీ హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే జయ రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధే జయ రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధే జయ రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధే జయ సీతా सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान
जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण
जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय गौरनिताय 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 जय प्रभुपदा 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 प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद
जयम शुपाल परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सरस्वती श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महराशील प्रभुपाद की जयम नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट ओम शुपाल परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सरस्वती श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महराशील प्रभुपाद की आनंदवड़ि वैष्णव वृंद की रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौ गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमनंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Amishwapadaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhareshwari Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini Namaste Sarasudevam Gauravani Prajarini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshadharini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददादिं स्वपदान्दियं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांदा राधा कांद नमोस्तुते तप्तकांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांचगल्पदरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Graditam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrata Varshinim Bhagavadim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam Anusandhadami Bhagavad Gite Bhavadveshinim Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullara Vindayada Matra Netra Yena Tvaya Bharata Taila Purnam Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradiva Prapanna Parijadaya Totra Vetraika Banaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Amruta Duhe Namam Sarvo Manishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amrutam Mahan Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Janura Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagad Guram Bhishma Drona Tada Jayadrata Jala Gandhara Nilolpala Shalya Grahyavati Kripena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwathama Vikarna Ghora Makara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Khalupanda Vairana Nadi Kaivartaka Keshavam Parasharya Vajasaroja Mamalam Gidartha Gandhol Kadam Nanakhyana Gakesaram Harikatha Sambodhana Bodhidam Logai Sajjana Shalpadairah Rahappe Biyamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Pankaja Kalimala Pradhvamsina Shreyasem Mugam Karoti Vajalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim Yalkrubatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yabrahma Varunendra Rudra Maruda Stanvandi Divyai Stavir Vedai Sangapadir Kramopanishadir Gayandiyam Samagah Dhyanavastita Tadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Navidusura Suraganai Devaya Tasmai Namah Om Shri Krishnaya Namah Srimadhi Radhiyaya Namah Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangeertanam Govinda Govinda
Chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita, we're talking about the qualities, what Krishna has spoken about in the different vibhudis. Vibhudis means the opulences. So, verse 4 and 5. Buddhir jnanam asammoha, shama satyam dama shama, sukham dukham bhavo bhavo, bhayam cha abhayam eva cha, ahimsa samada tushti, Tapodanam yasho yasha bhavandi bhava bhudanam matayeva pradagvidaha. Krishna says that various qualities or various moods what develops in a person at different times that comes from Krishna. All these things, what qualities that's mentioned there, buddhi, Jnanam, Asamoham, Kshama, Satyam, Damam, Shamam, Sukham, Dukham, Bhayam, Abhayam, Ahimsa. All these things, Krishna says, it comes from me. That's the important thing, that we probably think that it's due to us that these things are happening. No, it's actually originating from Krishna. It originates from Krishna. That the living entity or jiva, according to his vasanas, develops the different perceptions in different situations. Krishna says that. And he starts thinking that they are actually the truthful situation, true situations in relationship with the material nature. That's what it means. That unfortunately, most of us think when we react to a particular situation that it has come from us. But strictly speaking, Krishna says it has come from Krishna. Although we have different vasanas in us, according to the vasanas, when we react with the situation, the final result is coming from actually Krishna. Krishna says that is what one should realize. That all our, how much we are controlled to such final degree by Krishna's arrangement. That because of the different vasanas that we have created in different lifetimes, those vasanas are actually covering the Krishna's pure form in our dealings. In other words, living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna, and living entity also has to have the same qualities as Krishna. But because of our vasanas inside, these vasanas create different perceptions in us in relationship with the material nature. And when that is happening, it covers the true potency of Krishna. That's what Krishna says there. That buddhi, intelligence, knowledge, discrimination, kshama, or tolerance, and truthfulness, all these things are coming from Krishna. That otherwise, living entity on its own has no qualities. He is spirit soul, but Krishna has all these qualities in him. So when it manifests in a particular person, when these good qualities manifest in a particular person, we have to realize that they have come from Krishna. That is the most important thing. These vibhuti, they are called vibhutis. These vibhutis do not exist in us. It exists in Krishna. Although we are part and parcel of Krishna, in order for the living entity jiva, as you know, that jiva is a marginal energy between the spiritual energy and the material energy. So marginal energy, when it is in contact with Krishna, when it is in realization of Krishna, then the Krishna's qualities manifest through him. So we were talking about ahimsa. We saw how that word ahimsa has been misunderstood in the modern world due to different reasons. But whatever it is, Krishna says ahimsa means not to to create the understanding that advancing in spiritual life or self-realization, even whenever that is stopped by anyone, that he is violent. That is violence. Krishna considers that as violence. Ahimsa samata tushti. And samata. Samata means equal nature to all the living entities. Equally disposed to others. Tushti. Tushti means peacefulness. In santrupti or satisfaction in life. Always being satisfied in life. Unfortunately, this is the one thing which is mostly in shortage in the modern world. Never satisfied. So therefore, there are so many disturbances in life also for everybody because of this dissatisfaction nature. Where does this dissatisfaction come from? Due to association with the material energy or Maya. Maya is the cause of this dissatisfaction. In order to explain this, we can put that through different ways to explain how this tushti affects a person's life. Tushti affects the person's life. Once it so happened that there were two families who live next door to each other. They live close by. And the difference between the two families were, they were both young couple, were married for a few years and had one or two small children. Only difference was, one family always had problems. They always had problems. All lot of disagreement, quarreling, arguments, this, that and the other, every time. In every small issue, they had problems. On the other side, the next door had no problems. Problems in the sense, they were very quiet. Even if they had problems, they have learned how to keep it under control. In the modern life, the family life is always a crisis, isn't it? Everybody knows that. So, this family life can sometimes trigger off serious problems disturbs everybody's life. Not only the husband and wife, the children's also. So knowing very well that these two families who lived in each other next door, they were aware of these things, but still they couldn't control the situation. This one family carried on with the way they believed in this, that every issue has to be sorted out in a argumentative mood or quarreling about it. So one day, these things were continuously going on. So one day people who were a bit more peaceful than the other, the person in that house decided that he should go and inquire why these problems, why there is so much problem. Of course, nowadays you don't inquire any such thing, because if you inquire, you are in trouble. But that was the system. I mean, peacefully people live, and somehow or the other, when they found that the next door was always in trouble, there was arguments and problems and every kind of issues coming up. So this person decided to go and inquire from the next door what was actually happening. So why there is so much disagreement and why there is so much arguments about different things. So he went to the next door neighbor, and one day he decided to inquire from, directly ask him this question, why, what is the problem? So when he went to him, to see him, this person said to him that better not to speak about anything, what goes on here. He was himself in a very unhappy situation. And he said to him that basically we have no agreement on anything. Everything, we have arguments about everything. There is no peace at all, what can I do? This is what his complaint was. So like this they were chatting to each other, and he said to him that we have been married now for about 8 years. We are married for 8 years, he says. He says to the man who was peaceful, he says to him, we are married for 8 years. When he was saying this, his wife walks in from inside and says, no, 9 years, he says. No, that's wrong, 9 years we are married. So he says, see what it is. This is how it is, he says to him. So any issue, whenever that was spoken, there was always a contradiction, or there was always a crisis in every issue. So eventually he says to him that this is not a good situation to be like this, always quarreling and arguing about things. This has to be given up somehow. So he asked him that, how do you manage your life, home life? That I don't hear anything from your home. All the time it's very quiet there. And you seems to be getting on each other very well, the couple. And how come that I have all these problems? He says, I'll tell you the secret if you want to know, he said. So what was the secret? He asked him about it. He said, yes, I will tell you about it, he said. The situation at our home, he said, is like this. All the important issues, my wife decides. Less important ones, he says. All the less important issues, my wife decides. And all the important ones, I decide, he said. So he says, oh, that's not too bad if it is like that, he says. So why, what was that? How did you differentiate what are important, what is not important? He says, all the issues related to the family, for example, which school the children should go to, or how they should spend their weekends, where they should go for shopping, or where they should go on holidays, things related to everything to the home, I have left it to my wife. He says, all the less important issues. So this person was naturally curious to know, what are the important issues you are deciding? He says, oh yeah, I'll tell you what they are, he says. Everything related to terrorism, election, what's happening in America, what's happening in Russia, and what's happening elsewhere, all these important foreign affairs, I decide, he says. So there was no problem in the house, there was no problem. In other words, this person has learned not to entangle himself with everything in the family. If somebody has decided that that's the way they want to go, and if they are particular about it, you just have to leave them at that. And he has learned this lesson. Therefore, there was tushti in his life. He was peaceful in his life. Whereas in this house, 24 hours, there was a crisis. Because every single issue, they had to discuss and come to an agreement. And that was often very, very difficult. So tushti comes from what? Tushti comes from satisfaction in life. Not to get into the situation where there is always friction created between people. So he has learned that lesson. That is why Bhagavad Gita is saying here, buddhir jnanam buddhi ahimsa samada tushti stapodanam yasho yasha bhavandi bhava bhudhanam matayeva pradagvidaha. That all these things, if you know that it is coming from Krishna, they are important. That tushti is very important thing. When one is not satisfied in one's life, naturally there will be always difficulties. Spiritual life also is not possible. All these things are not the important ones in life. Managing the family and running home, this everybody is doing in this world. It is not something very spectacular. What is important is Krishna says, you have to execute even your household life in a peaceful way so that spiritual life goes on. That is more important. That is why Krishna says here these things, tushti. Tushti is given this importance because of this reason only. That satisfaction in life, so there is peace at home, one can execute spiritual life. Otherwise, where is the possibility of having any spiritual life? When there is a constant friction, an argument between the family members. So Krishna says, everything has to be given up for the sake of spiritual life. For the sake of spiritual life, one has to give up all the less important things. Those things will come and go. They are not the ultimate goal of life. Where the children went to school or what qualifications they got, what happened in their life. They will come and go. They are not the permanent things. That's what Krishna is trying to point out. Human life is meant for self-realization. Krishna says, if you don't utilize the opportunity for that and simply entangle yourself in the bodily issues and bodily matters, then you have lost that opportunity. So, ahimsa samada tushti tapodanam yasho yasham bhavandi bhavo bhudhanam matayeva pradagvidaha. That matayeva pradagvidaha, that all these things are coming from me, Krishna says. So, svabhava vijayam shaviryam satyanja samadarshanam. Then, in these qualities what you have mentioned here, what Krishna has mentioned here, you will find some of them are qualities related to spiritual life. Almiya bhava. Almiya bhava means which will help in advancing in the spiritual life. Some of them are relationship with the material life. In relationship with the material life, they are important. So, for example, sukham, dukham. Those things are helpful even for material life. Peaceful material life, tushti, all of them are for peaceful existence in this world. So one has the choice to take the spiritual qualities or the material qualities. Those spiritual qualities which are conducive for spiritual life, one should accept them. One should take them into one's own life. And that will help him in his advancement. Yashasya. Krishna says here that the tapodanam yasho yasha. Yasho yashas. Ayashasya means fame. Fame and ayashasya means not so good fame, that bad fame. In other words, a person's popularity in either way or the other, good or bad. So all these things are happening because of his relationship with the material nature and the vasanas inside. Then, maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastathaha malbhava manasa jato yesham lokaima prajaha. Bhagavad Gita, all these verses in the Bhagavad Gita are require a lot of contemplation and reflection one side. Because this 10 chapters I mentioned before, they are called the Vibhuti Yogam, Vibhuti, Krishna's Vibhuti. So, why these different Vibhutis have been picked up and spoken, or why these different opulences are spoken here, there is a reason behind it. We'll come to that later, why it's been spoken so specifically. And how to understand this chapter. That's also spoken later. So here, Krishna is saying here, Maharshaya saptapurve chatvaryo manavastatha malbhava manasa jada yesham loga ima prajaha. Right. Maharshaya. Maharshaya saptaya. So Maharsha saptamaharshis. Saptarishis they are called. Saptarishis change in every Manu's time. As you know, every Manu's time, few things changes. We have, in a day of Lord Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And for each Manu, the demigods will change, the seven sages will change, and a few more things there are mentioned in the Bhagavadam, which will change at every Manu's time. Saptarishis means the seven sages, who are given that special position. He was given that special position. So, in this particular Manu's time, there are mentioned here as the Marichi, Atri, Angiras, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kridu and Vasishta. These are the seven sages related to this age. So these seven sages, Krishna says, they have been created by me. They have been created by me. And who else? Maharshaya Sapta Purve Chatvaro Manavastadaha. The four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanatana and Sanat Kumara. They are the four Kumaras. So the seven sages, the four Kumaras, and who else? The Manavastadaha, the 14 Manus. They've all been created by me. Now, generally, our understanding is creation means in the normal way, due to the relationship between the man and the woman. That is how creation happens in this world. But according to Krishna's arrangement, these personalities were created by me, Krishna says. Chatvaro manavastada malbhava manasa jada yesham lokaima prajaha. That they were created, these 14 Manus, the 7 sages and the 4 Kumaras, they were total altogether 25. These 25 personalities were created from Krishna's mind. In other words, from Brahma's mind they were created. When Krishna created means, from Brahma's mind they were created. How do one create from the mind? This is an interesting question, isn't it? Because this makes people think that how can creation happen from the mind? This question will naturally come. It's not very difficult to understand. In the three states of existence, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, in the Jagrat we create from the vacant state, isn't it? But in the dream state, how do we create? Who creates that? The mind creates that, isn't it? In the dream state, when you go into the dream state, so many things are happening. All our senses are inert, idle. They are not doing anything. Intelligence is not active. But we are creating so many things from the mind, is it not? For hours together, we could be in that dream condition and we are experiencing that dream of what we have created at that time. This is why it's so important to remember this. Because whatever you can create in the dream, that can be created in the Jagrat state also, when you are in the vacant state. Only thing is, one has to know how to do that, due to the advance in the spiritual side. When you are advanced in the spiritual side, Krishna can do that, because Krishna says that Krishna's situation is like that. This Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti state does not exist for Krishna. One, when Krishna gives this ability to Brahma to create even in the vacant state from the mind, he is able to create them. That is the beauty of that creation. That is how these 25 personalities have come into existence. 14 Manus, 7 sages and the 4 Kumaras. In the Bhagavatam, you will find they were created from the mind. Manasaputras they are called. So that is what Krishna is saying here. If the ability, we have the ability to create in the dream state. If we get the same ability to create in the Jagrat state or the vacant state, we can do exactly the same thing, and that is possible. That is possible to do that. That is what Krishna says here. Great, great sages, when they have acquired this ability to create in the Jagrat state, they do wonderful things. And that is what we realize it all the time. Maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastatha malbhava manasa jada yesham loka ima prajaha. That in the, this conception is not very understood by the scientific world. They don't understand this, that this creation is possible like this. They have created the theory that, as you know, the theory of evolution, what they talk about. They think that evolution has happened and that is how we have reached this state of human life. This is how their argument is. But that is not correct, because Krishna is saying here, in his creation process, he gives the power to create to Brahma from the mind, and he created the sages before, and it is from them many others have come down. If you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see there from the sages how the creation developed. The seven sages have a great relationship with that. Prajapatis were created. Kardama Prajapati, Dasha Prajapati, they were all the progenitors of the other living entities. Srimad Bhagavatam will give you a completely different picture of creation. In the different cantos it is explained. The third canto and so many other places also, when Dasha Prajapati's life was discussed. So, the creation process as we understand in the modern world is not understood, is not the same what Krishna talks about. Krishna's creation is that ability to create has come from Krishna, that ability to create something. When Krishna gives it to Brahma, whether in the Jagrat state or in the dream state or deep sleep, it is possible to create, depending on the power of creation given to a living entity. But because the Manasaputra they are called, because of the ability to create from the mind, and that is a special facility Krishna has offered to them, that the argument that creation, that the modern concept which is being taught in schools and colleges everywhere, that their understanding is that the creation, it has happened from one species, it has progressed to another species, it has progressed to another species, and eventually it has developed into this finer form of human body. This is how it's being spoken. The difficulty to accept that is because that rejects completely the theory of karma. Karma is not there. There is no laws of karma applicable in that situation. Nor there is a complete rejection of all the Puranas and the history of the world. All that is rejected in that, isn't it? It is completely based on a mental speculative platform, this modern theory of evolution that has come out. But unfortunately, because people have not accepted the authority, Krishna's authority and Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, people find all these things acceptable to them. But they themselves know that that creation doesn't make much sense at all. In any way, the modern theory of evolution does not make much sense. The evolution what we talk about is the evolution of a living entity from one body to another, and that is not always progressive. The modern theory says that you are always progressing one to another and next to the higher planet, higher from trees and plants to aquatics, birds, and then animals, and then back to the human body. That's how they talk about it. Monkeys and then the human body. This is how their theory is. But if that theory is true, that continuously everybody is becoming a human being at the end. But loss of karma has no impact on that. But if you accept the loss of karma, you have to accept that a human being body is not necessarily you're always progressing. You can always fall back also in your evolutionary process or whatever that is. So creation is not completely dependent on our own body. And there is no natural law which says that you will continuously come to human body and live there forever in that. And after finishing that, go back to the heavens. That's not logical at all.
Edam vibhuti yogam cha mama yoveti tatvada sovikampena yogena yujyadena trasamshayaham. Again, edam vibhuti yogam cha mama yoveti tatvada sovikampena yogena yujyadena trasamshayaham. Now Krishna says, this vibhutis of mine and the yogam, that if one can understand truthfully, in not superficially, in truthfully, if he can understand, that he will, what will happen to him, that he will get over his mental speculation nature of mental speculation. He will get over his mental platform and he will come to that pure yoga platform, or into the yogic state of consciousness. Actually, what is discussed in these verses has got a little bit of a feeling like in Upanishads. Like in Upanishads, language is used in this very much. In this particularly Vibhuti Yogam chapter. You'll find it is not totally very direct. Whatever that is spoken is not very direct. You have to relate this with the other Upanishads also. What Krishna is saying here. What Krishna is saying here is that Edal Vibhuti Yoganja Mamayo Veti Tatvada. One who understands my vibhutis, Krishna says, one who understands my vibhutis, he will in due course understand what this creation is. What this creation is. And the result of that will be that he will get over his
mind, mental platform. In other words, the mind which is controlling him at the moment. For example, everything we have to first subject it to our mind, to accept it or reject it, isn't it? Anything in this world, when you experience that, you have to subject that to your mind first. Mind gives you, never give you a complete picture of anything. It will only give you a partial picture of it. And based on that, you are scrutinizing the particular thing and then deciding about it, what is right or what is wrong. And you accept or something, sometimes you reject it. And whatever you have accepted, intelligence fixes your mind on that, and that is how you get on with the business. That's not the final realized state of mind. Realized state of mind will first understand everything completely. And in order to understand that, Krishna says, you have to understand my vibhutis, what Krishna is. Krishna's vibhuti means to understand what Krishna is. So, you know, this understanding of Krishna comes from this chapter, Vibhuti Yogam, or this opulences of Krishna. So that's what is discussed here. In our present understanding of the creation, we have the understanding everything is different, isn't it? Everything is different. For example, we differentiate between different living entities. And in every living entity, we see the external form of the living entity. We accept that as the truth. The form of that living entity as the truth. Different material elements are mixed up in this world. So, we do not see the presence of the material elements there. Rather, we see the form of that particular object. Like, say, for example, bricks, buildings, electric light, and cars, or so many different objects in this world. We see all of them separately. We don't see the oneness in any of these things, what exists there. For example, everything that is matter in this world, we do not see the material elements presence in that. Rather, we see what is given to us by the presence of the senses. Senses report it to us in the wrong way. For example, metal, iron, copper, aluminium, and so many metals, we see it like that. But actually, they are also a transformation of this material elements. The primary ingredient in everything in creation is these five material elements, earth, water, air, ether, and fire. Due to time and due to various transformations that has happened in the creation, or a particular period of time, it has taken different forms in this world. But we do not see that. We only see the manifested form in front of us. That is what Krishna is saying. So that vision has to go from us. And in order to so that vision to go, Krishna's vibhutis have to understand. Krishna says, whole creation is nothing but me. Nothing but me. In everything what we see or what we perceive, it is Krishna who is present there. Similarly, all the living entities in this world, we see different species, 8.4 million species in this world. And all the species, we differentiate. We see them as different bodies. And it is because we see only the body, we don't understand what is inside the body, which is driving that particular body to carry on with its business in this world. We simply see the body and identify with the body. Therefore, Krishna says that vision is also not perfect. So from material side or from the spiritual side, our vision is never perfect, what we see here. And that is what Krishna is saying here. That edam vibhuti yoganja evam yo veti tatvadaha. That when one starts realizing Krishna's vibhutis in this world, Krishna's presence in this world, he will start realizing tatvada, in truth, what is actually this world. This world is nothing but manifestation of Krishna. Nothing but manifestation of Krishna. So when one starts seeing it in that way, he is actually seeing it properly. That's what Krishna says. Then, then this perception of different things in this world, where is that coming from? Perception of different things. What is bringing us that something is a particular form of a particular object is given to us by the mind. So this is to indicate that the information or the knowledge that the mind is bringing to us is not 100% correct. It's not perfect at all. Only it is bringing to us the form of a particular object. The form of a particular object or whatever the mind has perceived from that particular object, whether it's a living entity or it's a dead matter. So all the knowledge what we are acquiring like this in this world through the mind is not accepted as a perfect knowledge. That's what Krishna is saying here. So by understanding Krishna's vibhutis, one will slowly able to break away this thing, this information of the mind, and start seeing what is behind it. That is Krishna and Krishna's energy. That understanding will come to us. That is what is more important, Krishna says. That
Edam vibhuti yoganjam mama yoveti tattvada sovikambena yogena yujyade natra samshayam.
Then next four verses from now on, they are considered to be the very seed verses in the Bhagavad Gita. These verses are so important. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says them as the Chadashloki Bhagavad Gita. Like in the Bhagavatam we have Chadashloki. So similarly in the Bhagavad Gita, these next four verses are considered to be the seed verses of Bhagavad Gita. And they are so important verses. When you go through, you will see them.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idhi matva bhajande mam buddha bhava samanvidaha.
That's the first one. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade. Krishna says that aham sarvasya prabhavo, everything comes from me. I am the origin. And then what else?
Matta sarvam pravartade,
and everything in this world works because of me. Because of me it is working. Unfortunately we don't have that perception at all in our life. We think we are separate from everything. We work, they are also working, everybody else is working. That's how we say it. Krishna says no.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo,
everything comes from me. And what else? Matta sarvam pravartade, everything is working because of me. And
iti matva bhajande mam buddha bhava samanvidaha.
That buddha bhava samanvida, that one who has come to this understanding perfectly in life, that everything has come from Krishna and everything is functioning in this world because of Krishna. It's two important things. Everything has come from Krishna and everything is functioning in this world because of Krishna. It is Krishna who is the electricity working behind it. All living entities, not only the living entities, even the dead matter. When the matter you can see in this world, say for example, an old tree has fallen down on the ground. Old tree, it has gone old and eventually it's dead and the tree fell down. When the tree falls down, the trunk of the tree after a while start deteriorating, isn't it? It deteriorates and it gets absorbed in the earth or it disappears totally. It becomes completely disintegrated and it's gone. How did this change happen? How did this happen? Whom changed it? Obviously, we don't take note of it very seriously. We think it's all happening like that. But it's not happening. There's a source behind it which makes that happen. That's Krishna. So, Krishna makes that happen. Krishna makes everything happens in this world. When you sow the seed, from the seed the plant comes out. It gives fruits at the end. Or the products, whatever that is, from the rice or wheat or corn or barley, whatever it is, the grains, when the farmer sows the seed, and from the seed, the tree plants comes out and eventually it bears fruits. Who keeps this process going? It's Krishna who does that. That's what Krishna is saying.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade.
Everything is working because of Krishna's presence in that. Otherwise, it will not happen. In other words, if one contemplates on this and think about it a little bit more in detail, or reflect on it a lot more in detail, when one has time, if you do that, you will realize that in this world nothing works without Krishna's presence. It is Krishna's presence that keeps the whole thing going. This is why important to know Krishna's vibhutis. Because this Vibhuti Yogam chapter will open up our eyes to know that how important it is to recognize presence of Krishna in this world. We must not think that it is us who are activating everything. That is ignorance. It's coming from ignorance to think that we are activating everything. I gone there, I did this, I did that. So many big things are going on. But we don't know the person behind it who is controlling this whole thing. That is Krishna. If I have to do something, say there is a project I want to execute. I am thinking I am executing that. But where do I get the strength to do that? It comes from Krishna. So similarly, if you look at every living entity in this world, from when they come to their Jagrat state, as soon as they wake up in the morning, they are in the Jagrat state. And in the night, till they go to sleep, they carry out a loads of activities throughout the day, isn't it? And that's all happening in the Jagrat state. So all those activities which is happening in the Jagrat state, Krishna says, I am allowing them to do that, or I am doing it. Actually, I am doing it, Krishna says, because the source is Krishna. The spirit soul within every living entity allows them to do that. The living entity doesn't have that much freedom otherwise. And as soon as in the evening, when it goes to the dream, to the sleep, or to dream state, again the mind is in action. So, who is allowing the mind to activate like that? Again, it's Krishna. So, whether it is in the Jagrat state, whether it is in the dream state, or the Swapnam state, or even in the Sushupti state, even in the deep sleep, everything what happens in the deep sleep, the tamogunam that covers the spirit soul, and the spirit soul experiencing some of the happiness from the association with Krishna, that's also coming from Krishna. So where is our position? What's our position? Our position is that we are part and parcel of Krishna. More we identify with relationship with Krishna, we become released from the material energy or the influence of Maya. As long as we are identifying with Maya or material energy, we will not be able to realize Krishna. That is why the power of Maya is what is spoken here. That the moment our association with Maya is powerful, our relationship with Krishna also gets very weakened. Shri Krishna tulpado basanam abhayadamam baddhamityartha drishter martesya artyasya manye vabasaradi vayam yena sarvatmanaiva. In the Bhagavatam, reference to this, the nine yogis, when they were talking about it to Nimi Maharaj, it is a statement there that martesya artyasya manye vabasaradi bhayam yena sarvatmanaiva. That martya means one who is constantly dying. That is how we got the name martya. Martya means manushya. Manushya means one. Manu means one who is capable of contemplation. Mananam. That is from the word manu has come. The word manu has come from the ability to do contemplation or to reflect on things. Or that's called mananam. From the word mananam, manu, one who can do mananam, he is manu. So that manu, from whom another word used is for the another word for the human being or manushya is martya. Martya is the word used in the places, in several places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The reason why martya is used is martya means one who is constantly dying. As we know very well that the day we are born, the death process begins from then on. So it is a continuous process of death. And in other words, the body is lost and therefore is called martya. So there it says that martyasya artyasya manye. Martya has got one problem, that he is always desiring. In spite of the his human body, what he has got, he is desiring. Martyasya artyasya manye vabasaradibhayam yena sarvalpaneiva. What will happen to him is that as long as he has this material desires, first start identifying with Maya, material energy, thinking that everything is real in this world. He start accepting everything as real. Everything as real. Not only accepts it as real, although he knows his own existence is temporary, the object which he is trying to acquire or which he is trying to love is also temporary. Just see how Maya is powerful. The person himself who is developing the attachment for a particular object, he is temporary. Temporary existence in that material body. The object which he is trying to love and acquire in his life, that is also temporary. Both sides are temporary. In spite of that, Krishna's Maya or material energy is powerful to keep them together. Martyasya artyasya manye. And in that process what happens? Vabasarati bhayam yena sarvatmanaiva. That he is constantly under fear. Fear has built up inside. Why? Because of this attachment for matter. Attachment for matter. That matter, relationship with matter means not only the external matter, even his own material body, which is also matter. So, over a long period of time, this adhyasam or identification has gone so strongly with the body as well as the matter that he is caught up in that. And that is why fear develops inside. From there the fear develops. That's what he's saying. Vivarsaradi bhayam yena sarvatmanaiva. So first to think that everything is real in this world. The second thing to think, some of them are very good. It is nice to have them. And third thing, I would like to have it. So this is how that Maya influences in that way. Maya, we know very well that many of the objects in this world has relatively very little significance to our advancement in spiritual life is concerned. They are of no use as far as spiritual advancement is concerned. But in spite of all that, our attachment is so strong to it that somehow or the other a desire to acquire these material objects comes very strongly in us. Where did this come from? Vivasaradi bhayam yena sarvatmanaiva. That because of the lack of vision of the spirit, of the spirit soul's nature, and ignorance of the spirit soul and spiritual qualities, and the purpose of spiritual life. All this has been left out, and therefore material identification gets very strongly, and that's where it is come from. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartade. So everything what we see here, everything comes from Krishna. And everything works. Everything works from because of Krishna. Inivatva bhajan devam buddha abhava samanvidaha. One who worships me, Krishna says in this understanding. Inivatva bhajan devam buddha abhava samanvidaha. That person, his intelligence is properly fixed. Krishna says his intelligence is properly fixed. That the purpose of these verses, this particularly these four verses, is to make us realize that our current vision of the world and our current realization of the world is very polluted, is completely corrupted. Corrupted due to what? Due to the mind and the ignorance of ignorance in our consciousness, that we don't have the proper knowledge of things. Therefore, you will notice here, Krishna gives importance to knowledge in the next four verses. You will see, eventually Krishna concludes with knowledge. And this knowledge is nothing but to realize that this change, this identity of our, or the vision, what we have today in our particular life, in our life, or what kind of vision. All Krishna is saying there, if you change your vision, you will come to the spiritual platform. If you just change your vision, you come to the spiritual platform. So many things in this material world which are no importance as far as the spiritual life is concerned, we have taken them all as very important. We want that and we want this also. And that's where the whole problem starts. Krishna says, if you want this, you have to give up that. That's the important thing. That understanding has to change. Sometimes we try to make excuses for our own attachment to material life and material objects in this world. The whole material existence itself is the greatest impediment. Greatest impediment. Once upon a time, once it so happened, a great sage fell ill. He fell ill. When he fell ill, they were talking about bringing very specialist doctors and physicians and all to treat him, to treat this person, because he was a very famous spiritual personality. At one point he turned around and told them, please stop this, he said. It is not getting anywhere. You are necessarily wasting your time. Because the very material body itself is a disease. What to talk about treating the material body? That was his point. He said, the fact that I have a material body, that itself is a disease, first of all. Because I have lost that, my spiritual nature. I have lost that spiritual nature. And I have fallen into this material condition or the diseased body. And in this diseased body, I am trying to treat that something which is already diseased. So where is it going to end up? He said. He stopped everything and peacefully left this world. Didn't want any more treatment after that. So, but because we haven't got that perception in our mind, we have identified with this body for so long in our life, from birth onwards, this has been going on, that we find that anything without this body seems to be something unimaginable. We can't even imagine that we could exist without this body. And no matter how troublesome this body is, or how ugly it is, or how filthy it is, in spite of all that, we still love our body more than anything else. Is it not? In this world, our greatest attachment is for this very body, which is the very cause of unhappiness. So Krishna is trying to bring us to the point to understand, aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartade iti matva bhajandema buddha bhava samanvidaha. That Krishna says, if you understand the relative position of everything in this world, in other words, in what way they are related to Krishna, material bodies, different species, different material objects, what's their relationship with Krishna? If one understands that, Krishna says that they will know me then better. They will understand me better. Otherwise, they will never understand me. Iti matva bhajandemam. And once they understand that I am the key element in everything, I am the person who is activating everything, so I am more important, Krishna is more important. And when that realization comes, he has come to the spiritual platform. Unless and until that happens, he is very much on the materialistic consciousness. Materialistic consciousness is not simply simply being attached to matter. It starts with the material body itself. That he does not know anything in this world. All his vision is corrupted. All his understanding is wrong. Everything is false, Krishna says. Because the source behind everything is Krishna. And that we have completely left out. So what's the use of our knowledge? Iti matva bhajandema buddha abhava samanvidaha. And not only that, every time, whenever we experience happiness, distress, or attachment, aversion, different contradicting things in this world, we must realize that it has come from Krishna. It has come from Krishna. You see, it's an important thing. I give you an example. How this mood changes in us. And we do not know why it is happening. Often we wonder why it has happened like that, isn't it? We'll try to analyze it from a material level. Once a person was traveling. And he was on a business trip, going to different locations, and he had to sell his product to places where, which was very, very remote places he had to travel to, particularly equipments which were related to mining and things like that, where normally they are far away from the cities, isn't it? They will be in the very, very remote areas. So he had to travel a long time to get to a particular place. And it was very remotely located. And it took a long time. He had to travel by road to get to that place. Apart from that, the roads were not very good. So he had it was a very tiring journey for him. It was a very, very tiring journey. Took many, many hours driving, and eventually he managed to get to the see his end user or customer, whoever was there. He has informed them in advance that he was coming. He was coming to visit them. And because it was a kind of a business visit, business trip. So, after a long day's journey, by evening he got there. When he got there, he was so exhausted. But fortunately, this particular institution or the company, they had facilities for the visitors to stay. And they have also, knowing very well that the visitors who come will be very tired and exhausted, they have built a very wonderful guest house, like for the salesmen or the traveling people to come and stay. So he was given a room in this guest house. When he got into the guest house, he felt very happy. After seeing the facilities, everything very well organized in the guest house. And he was shown the room by the person who is in charge of the guest house. He was shown the room and he told him that your accommodation is, this is the particular room. Right? So he went in, and because he was so exhausted, he just wanted to rest. But seeing how nicely everything was kept, because it was only used by the people who came to visit that particular company. So everything was kept very well, and he went in, and then his food was also arranged by the company for his dinner. He had his dinner, and it was also done very well. So this company has taken special care for the visitors who are coming there, and the company has looked after them very well. And so that the visitors don't go away and they keep coming, because they need to come for doing business. So anyway, they came, and he had this experience. He had a very nice dinner, and after that he went to his room. when he went to the room, he saw the construction of the whole guest house was so nicely done, because in the forest they could get plenty of wood. And not only, so they didn't use the concrete style of construction, what in the modern days people use. So a lot of wood was used, and not only the wooden, woodwork inside the room was so wonderful that he was very attracted by all that. And even the bed, what was given to him, was not an ordinary bed, it was something very special. Because of they have spent money to do it very well. It was such a nice place, like in sometimes you traveling after long distance, you get into a place, you feel very relaxed. So he bathed, he had his dinner, he went to bed. Before going to bed, they also brought him a first class glass of milk with warm milk, gave it to him to drink. As soon as he drank this milk, he felt so tired, he wanted to sleep. He got into the bed was very comfortable. He was feeling so happy that at least today I'm going to sleep well. He was thinking like that. And he went to sleep. As soon as he went to sleep, tuck, 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 knock on the door. So he got up from the bed, went and opened the door. Few minutes ago, only this person had his milk and he was feeling very, he was feeling very sleepy also, he was tired. But when they knocked at the door, he opened the door and there somebody was standing. He was the person who was actually cleaning all the rooms. That was his duty. So, sort of a cleaner. He comes up to him and he says, gave him a long stick, a large stick to him. He said, please keep this with you, he said. Please keep this stick with you, he said. So this person, he says to him, what do I do with it, he said. What do I give him the stick for? He says, no, nothing serious, he said. Only yesterday, when I was cleaning the room, I just saw a small cobra while moving around here. And it had two babies also with him, with this cobra. I managed to kill both the babies, but the mother has escaped from there. I don't know where it has gone. I've tried to locate it, but I couldn't find it. So I thought, I'll give you this stick. If ever you find it, you know, in your sleep, if you by chance you notice anything, I thought you can finish it up with this. That's why I ground this stick to you, he said. And then you can call me and I'll come and sort it out later. Saying that, he went away. He closed the door. Can you imagine he could sleep after that? Could he sleep after that? So, 5 minutes ago, he felt great happiness. He was feeling completely relieved from everything. Just wanted to get into bed and sleep. Now with the stick in the hand, he's sitting there. Where is my the guest in the room? Was looking for this guest. So, in a few minutes time, his mind has given two different experiences of this world. Nothing has changed in this world. It has developed in me, isn't it? The person, in him. Where did the happiness come? Within him. Where did the fear come? It is also within him. Is it not? It didn't come from elsewhere. It happened within him. Both the things, happiness and that fear, both has developed within him. So what Krishna is saying here is that all these things are coming from me. Because when you have left your relationship with Krishna, our illusion builds up inside in such a way, our identification with matter and so many things in this world becomes very powerful. This is one story. Now let me tell you another story of a person who has become Krishna conscious, how he experienced that. This personality, he spent his early life in household life, did not last very long. Very soon in his life, his wife died. And after that, he never married. He took that distress as a part of his life and realized that Krishna, value of Krishna consciousness. He realized that. Took Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously in his life and got attracted to Bhagavatam so much. And throughout a long lifespan of 90 years of lifespan, he did not give up Srimad Bhagavatam. He stuck with Bhagavatam. He did not give up Bhagavatam. He found that the only truth is Krishna, and Krishna is in the Bhagavatam. This was his firm conviction in him. So because of that, in due course, he understood that what exists is only Krishna in this world. Nothing else exists. our conception is everything else exists, Krishna doesn't exist. Isn't it? That's what our realization is. His realization, because he has taken shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the knowledge from Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita has illuminated him so much that he realized only Krishna exists. So at the advanced age of 90, he was living alone. He was living alone. He had no friends in this world. All his time was spent in living a very, very simple life, and all the time was spent in studying Srimad Bhagavatam and similarly other Vedic literatures. So, after so many years of life like this, at the age of 90, he got an idea in his mind. He got one strange idea in his mind. Strange in the sense, his idea was this, that I must write a commentary on Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutra. These thoughts came up to him very strongly at the age of 90. Why? Because of this knowledge from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam has given him such an enlightenment in this, he could not think about living a life without explaining Bhagavatam and without explaining the Brahma Sutra. So at the age of 90, he wanted to write his commentary on Bhagavatam. What to talk about 90? Even at 60, we wanted to retire from everything in this world, isn't it? If you get to 60, many people say at 50 I want to live. Some people say, no matter if I can live at 40 itself. So this is our mind. Our mind is like, why? Because by 40 itself, we had enough of it. Or by 50, we had enough of everything in this world. Then if you can get out of this place, we feel satisfaction. But for a person who is Krishna conscious, he is not waiting that I have to go back somewhere else to enjoy. That's not his plan. Today, right here, whatever condition Krishna has put me in that situation also, let me be Krishna conscious. In other words, he has found so much shelter in Krishna. No matter what happens, it is not bringing him dissatisfaction in life. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness does not mean that we will leave this life and then we will be happy. No, we have to learn to be happy even in this world, in the middle of all these things. The unhappiness is only due to our material consciousness. That is what is created. We have not taken the shelter of Krishna's instructions or Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That is where our unhappiness is coming from. That you will see in the next few verses. Krishna is talking about it. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idimatva bhajandema buddha bhava samanvidaha. So this person who wanted to write his commentary on Brahma Sutram, he had one person was coming to help him sometime because of his old age. Old age, he was trying to help him. So one day it so happened that he was in the toilet. He was in the toilet. He was very, very old, over 90 years old. And he was in the toilet. At that time, a cobra came into the toilet from outside. A cobra came in. The man was not at all disturbed. He was not disturbed. When the cobra moved into the toilet, the other person who was actually looking after him, he came up to tell him that this cobra, he has seen this cobra is going into the toilet. He wanted to kill the cobra. But the man said, this devotee said to him, don't kill him, let it go. It'll go. You have to just leave him like that. From where did this courage come? That's coming from Krishna. That you will see our fear of cobra or the fear of the snake has come to us because of our identification with the material body. But unless this identification goes away, till that goes away, this fear of cobra will also stay in our mind. It will not go away. It's also going to stay. That's why it is spoken like this, that vivasarati bhayam yena sarvatmaneiva. When we realize that every living entity in this world is Krishna, Krishna's different expansions and different forms are here in this world, up to that time the bhayam, the fear will follow us. The fear will follow us. So you can see how important it is to realize Krishna. Krishna's proper realization of Krishna is necessary to free oneself from fear in this world. And that will be discussed in the Ekadasham later. So, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartane idimatva bhajandema buddha bhava samanvidaha. That when the ignorant people, Krishna says, when the people who are very ignorant, when they take shelter of the matter, when they take shelter of matter, normally what happens is, all of us, it's generally that is a situation, that first we try to deal with the problem ourselves, with our capacity, isn't it? When we get sick, or when we have a problem within our own life, what do? We try to solve it ourselves. If we can't solve it, then what do? We take the help of our so-called associates, friends or relations or whatever, society or community or whoever it is, we try to mobilize their help. When that is also not working, then we think about going to Krishna. Up to that time, we keep Krishna out of the picture. We think that we can sort it out. So this is our normal tendency in us, that over years of practice like this have established a mood in us that always I can sort that out. Everything is happening because I have not handled it properly. So it will be alright if I do it properly. Or if I can't do it, I've got my friends and others who can help me, and they'll help me in the situation. In this way, we try to deal with this world, never through Krishna's help, never realizing that Krishna is behind everything. So Krishna wants us to realize this. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade. Everything is working in this world because of Krishna. That is what Krishna is saying. Idi matva bhajan devam buddha bhava samanvidaha. One who understands me in this way and uses his intelligence to see me in everything and takes my shelter, he is properly situated. That's what Krishna says. He is properly situated. Otherwise, so long as we are making adjustments in this world and trying to see Krishna separately from our life in this world, throughout that time, our Krishna consciousness will also suffer. It will not go in the proper direction. And that is the biggest obstacle to overcome. That this obstacle, to see ourselves separate from Krishna. We are not accepting that Krishna's presence in our life is what is keeping this life going, this body functioning. Similarly, all that good and bad that is coming to us is from Krishna's arrangement. That is why it is spoken. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayanda shama amnitya tushyandija ramandijam. Then, next words. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam. For such people who have that realization, Krishna says, this kind of realization what we discussed in the last verse. For such people, Krishna says, machitta, their mind is completely absorbed in me. You can imagine that why when people say, oh, I have been chanting so many years, now Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I am still the same, nothing has changed. Why? Because you have not understood what Krishna has spoken about it. The proper understanding is also necessary while executing one sadhana. It's also important. Machita malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam. Such personalities who have absorbed their chittam or consciousness in me, Krishna says, machita, and those people, malgada prana, there everything is me for them. There is nothing else for them exist. For us, Krishna exists for a couple of hours in a day, or maybe once a week, or whatever it is. That's what our relationship with Krishna is, very much on a superficial level. It is so loose, that connection with Krishna. So, but Krishna is saying here, machitta malgada prana, that those devotees who have come to this realization, their mind is absorbed in Krishna. There is no time for politics, anything otherwise. Machitta malgada prana, that pranan, their pranan is completely in me. That's their life. Malgada prana, their prana is going towards me. Nowhere else their life turns into. Bodhayanda parasparam. And what else did they do? Bodhayanda parasparam. That mutually they have only one subject to talk about. That's Krishna. There is no other topic to discuss each other. Only about Krishna they talk to each other. So normally, from Krishna consciousness point of view, one should only talk about Krishna, nothing else. Everything else, if one talks, it is nonsense. That is how Shastrams are saying about that. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayanda chamam nitya tushyandija ramandija. What else happens to them? That they are completely absorbed in talking about my katha. About kathayanda chamam nityam tushyandija ramandija. They talk about me and my pastimes, my glories, and in that they are so absorbed, they mutually enjoys this. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Tushyanti, they are satisfied with that, and ramanti, they are enjoying it as well. So, you can imagine that when one thinks about Krishna consciousness, one should know these things, because otherwise what happens is that we come to Krishna consciousness. We come to Krishna consciousness. We take a few instructions here and there. Here and there we take a few instructions. We try it out for a few years. And when it's not working, then we say there's something wrong with the whole thing. It's not working. Then we find the goal changes. That's what happens, first thing. First one comes to Krishna consciousness to realize, for self-realization. That's the goal, isn't it? To develop devotion to Krishna and by Krishna's mercy to get rid of this bodily identification. This is the goal. But more than often, you can say in many, many cases, what normally happens is, when the process is taken up first time, initially, for the first year or two, everything will go very seriously. Chanting will go, following all the principles, and executing the process of Krishna consciousness. He tries his best according to the instructions given to him. But after a year or two, it depends on different people how much time it lasts. Sometimes 2 years, sometimes 5 years. Depending on whatever time it is. After some time they realize that I've not gone very far in spiritual life. I'm still where I am. What has happened to me now? What did I gain from all these things? And then the goal changes. And that's where the goal starts changing. Then what happens? Then you start thinking about this, that there's no harm if I have some material opulences. So material desires start coming back again. And want to acquire wealth. And then twist everything to suit one's own needs. So then the goal has changed from going back home back to Krishna or developing Krishna consciousness changes into material life, material happiness. That becomes the goal. And then you are still a devotee, you are still engaged in spiritual life, but only small changes happen, the goal has changed. The goal has changed from developing Krishna consciousness into have a good, happily, comfortable material life in this world. That becomes the goal, number one. If that is not the goal, depending on different people, it can change again. Somebody else thinks that Krishna consciousness is not a bad thing. After all, through Krishna consciousness also you can become wealthy. If that starts coming in, then that also becomes the objective. Or somebody else thinks that it's not harm, through Krishna consciousness one can become popular also. Fame, attachment for fame builds up from that. So then fame is the goal then. It is not anymore self-realization. That goal has changed again. So like this, all the time the goal is changing. So many different material goals comes in. Oh, so that is why these verses in the Bhagavad Gita are important to reflect on it and to see what will take us to the goal. All the other activities won't take us to the goal. Krishna is giving very, very precise and clear instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kadayandascha maam nityam tushyandija ramandija. Krishna says that those who have surrendered to me, those who have taken me very seriously, this Vibhuti Yogam is a very important chapter. Important in the sense that it is in this chapter Arjuna reveals his consciousness very clearly. Where Arjuna is, you can see in this chapter. It will come in the next few verses. Arjuna's questions will come back. When you read those questions, you will know that these questions clearly indicates that Arjuna has gone, moved ahead very much in the spiritual life. It's not the same Arjuna what you see in the beginning of first chapter. What you see in the middle of this 10th chapter, the Arjuna what you see in the 10th chapter is different than the Arjuna what you have seen in the first chapter. Why? By now, by hearing Krishna for the last 9 chapters, Arjuna's realizations have changed. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandascha maam nityam tushyandi charamandija. This is the what is expected of a devotee. Krishna is expecting this. Because for a person who wants to go back to Krishna, he has to know about Krishna. What is Krishna? And in order to know about Krishna, Krishna says, you have to study and understand me. My instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. It is unlimited. The instructions in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is unlimited. For one whose mind is absorbed in Krishna, Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayanda chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Tushyanti and ramanti in both. He is satisfied because he has got Krishna within him. Once he gets Krishna, then he is satisfied with it. He does not want anything else in this world. That is the another beauty of Krishna consciousness. That when one gets Krishna consciousness properly, then all the material desires automatically fall away. It goes away from him. Material desires have no place anymore. And if somebody is still desiring for material advancement, material life, it's only because he hasn't understood Krishna's instructions properly. For a person who wants to go back home, back to Krishna, all material activities are impediments. They are not helpful at any time. And that is why Krishna is saying here, explaining to us of a person's nature who is on his way back home, back to Krishna. This is what it is. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandascha mam nityam tushyanti charamandija. He has no other interest in this world. All other things are superficial. They have limited significance as far as his life is concerned. And therefore, because of he has come to that platform of realization, he has taken Krishna wholeheartedly in his life. And therefore, his progress is also very fast. Now, here, in this particular verse, you will notice that Krishna has spoken about chittam. Chittam means the andhakarana. The four things. Mind, manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam. These are the four things that constitutes the internal subtle body. These four things there. So, in there, the things like mind, intelligence, all these things, and the senses, they are all there. And they get their energy from Krishna. We have seen this in the Rathakalpana. If you remember, the chariot. In the chariot, that we spoke about that before. The horses are the senses. The mind is the rein. The intelligence is where Krishna is controlling that rein. Behind that is the passenger, the soul. The soul. The soul is the passenger. Now, as long as Krishna is controlling this, the chariot will go in the right direction. When Krishna withdraws from the chariot and we handle the chariot ourselves, it goes and topples somewhere. It does not reach the final destination. That is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So this is called Rathakalpana, the understanding of the human body as a chariot. This human body is nothing but the chariot. And so here what you have to remember is this, that the senses, the mind, the intelligence, they all receive their ability to function, the power to function from the soul, which is within the body, which is part and parcel of Krishna. So, these three things, mind, intelligence and false ego, as long as one, they are not linked to the spirit soul, or in other words, their function is under the control of the spirit soul, they are normally tend to be by the under the modes of nature. When they are not controlled by the spirit soul, they will be infected with the modes of nature. And it is these through three things that we acquire knowledge in this world also, isn't it? Mind, intelligence and senses. It is through these three things that we acquire our knowledge of this world, of the material objects. So what Krishna is saying here is that these three things should change. They should change. And they should develop that capability of acquiring knowledge of Krishna through them. Through them. So they should be directed towards acquiring the knowledge of Krishna. So that is why it is mentioned like this in this verse. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandaschamam nitya tushyanti jaramandija. The importance of engaging one's subtle body in Krishna consciousness. That is what in that verse says. Because if the subtle body is not absorbed in Krishna consciousness, gross body may carry on doing many things. But gross body is a dead thing. It dies over a period of time. The gross body has to disappear. And so, no matter how long you engage the gross body in the service of Krishna, unless the subtle body is pulled into it, the changes may not be very quick. The changes is going to be taking a very, very long period of time. That's why first thing is to engage the subtle body more than the gross body. The subtle body has to accept, because subtle body is the one that is actually developed around the soul. The gross body's existence is temporary, but the subtle body carries on with the soul to the next body. So, having come to the human body, where there is a higher possibility of acquiring knowledge through the intelligent senses and the mind, that should be used, because only in the human body, this subtle body is capable of doing it. That is the beauty of that. So, human body is nothing but a vehicle for it. Apart from that, human body cannot help so much. Most of it is the subtle body that has to do this function of realizing the self. And whatever knowledge Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if that has to manifest in a person, it is a subtle body that has to do that job. It is the subtle body that has to do the job. That's why it is so important that the major focus should be on the subtle body more than the gross body. Anything that is focused on the gross body, after a period of time will disappear, if the subtle body was not fed properly with spiritual knowledge. That's a fact. That's a fact of life. That subtle body, if it has received proper spiritual feedback, spiritual food at the right time, even if the gross body fails, still that person will execute Krishna consciousness in its subtle body. So, therefore, the importance of subtle body is explained in this verse. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayanda shamam nitya tushyandi charamanti cha. So, tushyandi and ramanti, they are all coming from this subtle consciousness. Tesham, and then in the next verse, Krishna says, Tesham satadayuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam dadami buddhi yogandam yenamam upayandidem. That this is another out of the four verses. This is the third verse, which is also an important verse. What does Krishna say? Tesham satada yuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam. Pridipurvagam. That is the most important word in that. Tesham satada yuktanam. Those people who have come to that state of life, the state of consciousness. In other words, who have managed to absorb their subtle body in Krishna's service, who have come to that platform, for them, Krishna says, what will they do? They serve me. How? Pridipurvagam. Pridipurvagam means with total happiness. In happiness they do. So, tesham satara yuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam. So, when they serve me pridipurvagam, when they are doing it pridipurvagam, then Krishna says, dadami buddhi yogam dam. Then I give them the intelligence. Then I give them the intelligence. Sometimes, often you will find this, many times devotees say that I have served so many years, I have done this, I have done that, but still I have not felt any happiness in, Krishna has not responded to me anything. He has not responded to me anything. Often you will find people saying this. Why? Because this verse will answer that question. Because Krishna is saying here, Tesham satara yuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam. He has not served me pridipurvagam in happiness. He was doing it, oh, I have to do it, this service, I have to do it. I get up in the morning, take the beads back, I'm feeling sleepy. Oh, I have to commit 16 rounds, I have to chant. And I chant these 16 rounds in total unhappiness, completely upset. What am I doing? Am I wasting my time? All the time I'm thinking, I'm wasting my time. Rather, I may have something else to do. Krishna says, what is the use of this service? You may as well sleep comfortably in your bed, rather than chanting the so-called 16 rounds in this way. This is the point. This Krishna is making it very clear. It's for us to understand. Spiritual life is not a burden on life. Spiritual life is, Krishna says, it is to be joyfully performed. And there is no joy at any stage. Every minute it is misery, totally, beginning to end. And Krishna says, what is the point in serving me like this? I don't need a devotee like this. This is what Krishna is telling us. If you are coming to serve me with joy and happiness. That's what these verses are so important. Tesham satara yuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam. Pridipurvagam, Krishna says. He is not serving me out of in a disgusted manner. Sometimes you have seen people, when you tell them to do something, oh, I have to do this. You know, oh, why does he want me to do this? Is that all what I have to do? That's the mood. That's not only spiritual things, even material things, it is supposed to be done priti purvakam. But at least Krishna says, when you are serving me, because ultimately every activity is meant to please Krishna. So all activities, if it is not done priti purvakam, it should not be done. It's better not to do it. This is the point what Krishna is making here. Because when it is executed priti purvakam means with pleasure, with happiness, or finding satisfaction in that, doing something with the whole understanding that my happiness is in pleasing Krishna. May Krishna be pleased with my service. May Krishna be satisfied with me, what I am doing for to please Him. This mood is necessary in a devotee's mind. But if you are always calculating, what am I going to get out of this by service? What salary am I going to get? Where am I going to get the money? If this is the mood, Krishna says, don't waste your time. You may as well go and do something else rather than doing this. So these words, you can't ignore them. They are the life of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is opening up our eyes how to serve Krishna. If you serve Krishna with a different mood, Krishna says, don't read Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satadayuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam. If you do that with pridipurvagam, what Krishna says, dadami, I give them what? Buddhi yogamdam. I'll give them the intelligence to yenamam upayandide. With that intelligence, they can come back to me. That's the point Krishna is making here. So, sincere, loving relationship with Krishna, loving in devotion, and serving Krishna with that loving capacity, that is the goal of spiritual life. Otherwise, our bhakti is not there. Where is it? What is it going to happen then? It's not going to do anything. It will just go day after day, another lot of time hold. At the end of the life, somebody asks, what have you gained in life? All I've gained is I wasted my 60 years doing this, or 70 years, whatever it is. Shramaye vahi kevalam. Bhagavatam says that in the beginning, isn't it? That what is Bhagavatam says? Bhagavatam says like this, that, that, dharmasvanushtidapvamsam vishvaksena katha suyal nolpadeer yadiradim shramaye vahi kevalam. Bhagavatam begins with this principle. What does it say? Dharma swanushtida pumsam vishwaksena katha suyal. That dharmam, if it is not executed in such a way that vishwaksena katha suyal, Krishna's glories has to be heard and an attachment has to build up for Krishna. If it is not happening, nolpadayed yadiradim, and by hearing about Krishna, always the problem is this, that we hear about Krishna, so many Krishna's pastimes. Then we start analyzing in our mind, is this all true, what has been written in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam? And then we will hear from another 10 people, 10 different versions of that. And that's enough. And that's the end of it. And then we start thinking that, oh, I think it's a lot of mental concoction going on here. What is right? What is the right thing? So, Krishna is saying here, dharma swanushtidapam sam vishwaksena katha suyal nolpadeed yadi radim shramayevahikevalam. That if there is not reti or attachment to Krishna, which will only happen from bhajadam, priti purvagam, if one executes that with priti, with happiness, then what will happen is, dadami buddhi yogandam, I give him that person that intelligence. He gets the intelligence from Krishna. Otherwise we don't get any intelligence also, because ultimately Krishna says that everything, matasmradar jnanam abohanam cha, everything, memory, forgetfulness, everything comes from me. So, what to do, the right thing, which way to go in direction, which direction to go in spiritual life, and not to get distracted from Krishna consciousness, all these things comes from Krishna. Krishna strengthens that all the time. Why? Because that person is serving him priti purvakam. With love and affection, he is serving Krishna. He has taken it as the life and soul in everything in his life. Therefore, his service is pure, priti purvakam. Krishna accepts that. But otherwise, if it is executed simply for the sake of to have a good, comfortable material life in this world, then Krishna says that is not priti purvakam. That is not priti purvakam. So that is the importance of these verses. You can see, before we discuss Krishna's vibhutis, we have to understand about Krishna. What does Krishna expect from us? When we do not know what we are, and when we do not know what our mood or whatever mentality should be or attitude should be towards Krishna, we will not understand this vibhuti. That is the first thing I have to say this. That when vibhutis have not started yet. Vibhutis are going to come later in this chapter. But when we start discussing the vibhutis, if you want to understand vibhutis, your relationship with Krishna also has to be proper. Our relationship with Krishna also has to be proper. Otherwise, these vibhutis won't make any sense to us. We will think, what's so important about all these things? So many things Krishna says. And then, please don't ask questions at that time. Why this is important? Why that's important? Because our own relationship with Krishna is not proper. So therefore, all the vibhutis also won't make any sense to anybody at that time. So first thing, Krishna says, understand me, what's your relationship with me is. That is why these four verses are giving us an insight into that, to develop an understanding of Krishna and a relationship with Krishna. Tesham sadada yuktanam bhajadam priti purvakam dadami buddhiyo agandam yenama upayandidem. That for a devotee, Krishna says, who wants to understand my vibhuti, who will enjoy these vibhutis more, is that person that he has seen that the even for a second or any time in his life, he has no time to waste. He has no time to waste. All his mind is completely focused in understanding Krishna and realizing Krishna. Every second he spends his time in that way. He gives least importance to what goes on in this world. That is the mood that is necessary for a person like that. Our activities are very mechanical. Everything what we do is very mechanical. Even in spiritual life, all our activities are mechanical, isn't it? I'm sure many of you may agree with me. I don't know all, but some of you may agree with me that our spiritual activities are very mechanical. Like we get up in the morning, we start chanting our rounds. Even while chanting the rounds, mind is somewhere else, wandering around after what am I going to do today, where do I go, what I have to tell my boss in the work, what I have to deal with the family, this, that. So many problems one after the other. We are trying to solve all these things while chanting these 16 valuable rounds. That's what's happening. One. Secondly, this mechanical way of doing things infects into everything else. When you go for Mangalarti, or even if you are engaged in any other, while reading Srimad Bhagavatam also, the mind does not allow, it is wavering all the time, thinking about, after reading sometime you start doubting, is this all right what's mentioned in the Bhagavatam? So like this mind is driving us away from Krishna. So Krishna is saying here that unless the subtle body, mind, intelligence, all senses and all that, they are completely in tune with Krishna. Our service to Krishna in the subtle world, the subtle body, is also not priti purvakam. It's not pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is not pleased with our material bodily activities. What pleases Krishna is that mood of the person. It very clearly Krishna specifies that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajadam priti purvakam. Priti purvakam. And one who lives in this world in that mood, for him there is no doom and gloom. Otherwise it's all doom and gloom all the time. Oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's happening after? Says, where is this doom and gloom coming? It's also coming from this person's mood, that he has not developed this attitude of priti purvakam. He's not willing to do anything priti purvakam. So there is always problem. So Krishna is saying here, dadami buddhi yogandam yenama upayandidem. Then to such people, to those people who are serving me like priti purvakam, with that loving devotion, to them Krishna says, I give them the knowledge. That is when one gets the knowledge of Krishna. Krishna says, because he is serving me with love and devotion, and he has attachment for me, and he is putting all his best efforts to understand me, Krishna says, I see his seriousness and that sincerity in him in serving me. I give him the intelligence to come to me. That is that verse Krishna is talking about. Then, tesham eva anukam vartam ahamajnanajam tama nashayam alpabhavasto jnanadeepena bhasvadaha. Another, the last fourth verse, in the four verses starting from aham sarvasya prabhavo, this fourth verse is also very important. Tesham eva anukam vartam ahamajnanajam tama nashayam alpabhavasto jnanadeepena bhasvadaha. Krishna says that tesham evanukam bartham, for such a person who is endeavoring very hard in this world to understand me, what will I do? Aham ajnanajam tamam. That tamogunam, what is covering him, in the form of ignorance. The tamagunam, what's covering him? In the form of ignorance. Nashayam atma bhavasto. I will, from inside, remove that tamogunam for him. For that person, I'll remove his tamogunam. And in other words, that ignorance will go away from him. Why? Because the moment one comes into contact with Krishna on a subtle world, on a subtle level, with the subtle body, automatically, from inside, Krishna starts the elimination of that person. He will receive that knowledge from Krishna at that time. That's what Krishna is saying here. Teshameva anudam vartam mahamajnanajam tama nashayam atmabhavasto. Atmabhavastam, that is the most important word there. Atmabhav means that he start realizing that all these years I have identified with my body, identified with my friends and society, family, this, that and the other. And on a false level, I have lived so long in this world. On a false platform, I have been carrying on my business in this world. Now, I have come to my real relationship, which is with Krishna. So, due to one's seriousness and the inquisitiveness, also the commitment in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is recognizing that person's mood or recognizing that person's seriousness and saying here, aham ajnanajam tamanashayami, I will destroy that ignorance what has been giving him trouble for so long a time. Because this ignorance what is in us, it is very deep rooted. It is so deep rooted that it is very difficult to throw it away from us. Our own effort, it is not possible to do that. By our own effort, it is not possible. We always have this feeling that by our effort we can do things. No, it is not possible. It is not possible. In spiritual life, the only success is coming from Krishna's mercy. Nothing else. Krishna's mercy is the cause of everything. For example, even in the last verse, if you remember, that the Sarvadharman Parityaja verse, which is a famous verse, everybody accept that it is a conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. No doubt about that. But even there, even when you come to that verse, you will notice, Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamegam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarvabhavebhyo Mokshayishyami Vashucha. That you have done everything from your side, but without properly understanding that what Krishna is expected from us. Sometimes we consider that we have surrendered to Krishna. But our Krishna, surrender to Krishna is not complete at all in any way. When you read these verses in the 10th chapter, you will realize how far we are away from Krishna. Isn't it? So, our limited spiritual activities, what we have performed in this world, is not sufficient to come to that level of surrender to Krishna. Completely surrender to Krishna. We have got our prarabdha karma that is holding us back. Prarabdha karma is there behind us. That's what has caused this body. That is holding us back. Our different vasanas inside, which are ready to sprout any time, they are holding us back. Isn't it? The vasanas are there inside. That is holding us back. The prarabdha karma is holding us back. What else is holding us back? The three modes of material nature, what is externally influencing us, that is also holding us back. For an ordinary living entity, it is not possible to break away all these things and surrender to Krishna on the spot like that. It is not possible. It's impossible to surrender to Krishna as long as all these things are there. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita is teaching us how gradually one can break away from these things and properly surrender to Krishna. It is not by our effort that we become successful in spiritual life. It is by Krishna's mercy that we become successful in spiritual life. When Krishna wants that to happen, when Krishna sees the devotee is qualified to progress spiritually, Krishna gives the knowledge to him. And that is when he is released from the material identity of the body. Not otherwise. By my own effort or your own effort, it is not going to happen. But does that mean that one has to give up the effort? No, that's not what it means. What it means is, the effort has to go on. But Krishna says here that effort has to be Preeti Purvagam. Teshamevanukam Bartam Ahamatyana Jamtama Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Basvada. That Jnana Deepam, the torchlight of knowledge, Krishna says, I give it to them. I give it to them. What is knowledge? Up to that knowledge, we have to take it. Till we receive that knowledge, we have to take it that we are in ignorance. We don't have to think any time that we have the knowledge. We haven't got the knowledge. Why? It has not manifested in us. Theoretically, we have understood so many things from the books. But knowledge is only real when it is realized within the person. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Nashayami atma bhavasto yana divena bhasvadaham. Once it so happened that one of the commentators on Srimad Bhagavatam, he was wanted to write this commentary on the Ekadasha Skandam, the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when he finished the 10th canto, he couldn't proceed after that. When he finished the 10th canto, he couldn't proceed after that because of the gravity of the topic of 11th canto, the gravity or the depth of it. In order to explain that, it requires considerable amount of time and energy and deep absorption in that before one can present it properly to the rest of the world. So he has been thinking about it for a very, very long time. What do I do with this Ekadasha Skandam? Ekadasha Skandam is Krishna's, the gem of knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What you have to remember with Ekadasham is that unlike Bhagavad Gita, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Krishna was probably 40 years in this world. When I say 40 years, it's not Krishna's age. There's no meaning to give any, I don't know how to put it in English, but how to say this, that Krishna's age. You can say 40 years. Krishna was 40 years in this world. For a person who has no birth, no death, what age? Age has no meaning. But still we say for our transactions in this world, we have to give a figure. So we'll put it like that. Krishna was 40 years at that time. Arjuna was more or less Krishna's age, wasn't it? Arjuna was also around the same age. So when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Krishna was more or less talking to Arjuna at the time when they were about 40 years old. When it comes to Ekadasha Skandam, when was spoken Ekadasham? Ekadasham was spoken just before Krishna was leaving this world. So the speaker, Krishna, at that time was 120 years. More or less 120, 122 years, you can say at that time. Although age has no relationship with Krishna, it doesn't mean anything. But the listener of Ekadasham was a very old person. You shouldn't forget that. Uddhava was 123 or 124 years old. Same age as Krishna. So, a person of 124 years old or 23 years old, who is very old in that sense, that was asking questions to Krishna, and Krishna was saying to Uddhava at that time, some of the knowledge of Ekadasham is so high that what Krishna has left out in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasham. So you can see that the the questions what Uddhava has asked at that time were different from what Arjuna has asked here. And even therefore, it becomes much more difficult to understand what Krishna has actually spoken to Uddhava. It makes it much more difficult because of that. Because of that it gets much more difficult. And this Ekadasha Skandam, when it comes to that, almost all the commentators on Srimad Bhagavatam has had a very difficult time in commenting on the Ekadasham. So this particular commentator, when he comes to the Ekadasham, he decided to do it this way. His choice was this. When he was finishing the 10th canto, he finished the whole of 11th canto in one verse. He wrote it down. That at the end, Krishna spoke the transcendental knowledge to Uddhava and returned to his abode. Finished it. In one verse, he spoke everything about this. That whatever the whole message in the Ekadasha Skandam is there, he decided to summarize into one verse, because he was writing his commentary in Sanskrit. So he summarized into one verse, and he spoke that one verse to, wrote it down, and finished it there. And then there are a few things in the 12th canto, which is not very, which is only talks about very lesser important things. Like for example, 12th canto talks about the ashram. Ashram means the shelter. Is Krishna there? The story of the changes of time, what's going to happen, the influence of Kali, age of Kali in this world, that is discussed. And then after that, Parikshit Maharaj leaving this world, and at that time, Sudeva Goswami giving the final instructions in 13 verses. That's all. 13 verses, Sudeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit, and Parikshit goes back to the spiritual world. That chapter. And then 3 chapters about Markandeya story, the sage Markandeya story, that is discussed. And eventually, the 12th chapter, 12th canto, is talks about the essence summary of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And eventually, the importance of all the other Puranas, and the 12th canto is finished like that, which was not so difficult as the 11th canto. So when it came to 11th canto, he found that very, very hard. So what he did was, he summarized the whole 11th canto in one verse, saying that there's only 2 topics in the 11th canto which are important. One, it is the Nimi Jayandaya Samvadam. That means the Rishabhadev's children, the 9 yogis, going to Nimi Maharaj and discussing about the Bhagavata Dharma, Krishna consciousness, in 4 chapters. And then after that, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, which is known as the Uddhavadesham. So these are the 2 topics discussed in that 11th canto. And when these 2 chapters, when these 2 topics were summarized in one verse, and he moved on to the 12th canto. And he took sufficient time to complete the 12th canto, and he wanted to close the book. That very night, Krishna went up to him in the dream, went up to him and asked him, "What's the program?" he said. "What's your program?" he said. So he could not understand why Krishna has asked this question. He is sleeping and he is in his dreams. When you are dreaming, when to come out of the dream, you don't have the freedom, have you? Has any one of us has got the freedom when to come out of the dream? Okay, sometimes we wake up crying from the dream, seeing something extremely frightening or something which is not very pleasing. You wake up from the dream. But that's not your choice. That's happened because of the fear that has developed within. Or, if you are enjoying a good dream, you want to stay in that dream, but suddenly you wake up and you see, oh, everything was a waste of time. You are dreaming something which you are not real. And then you think, oh, that was also not very nice. I lost that good dream. So, good dream or bad dream, you haven't got a freedom, have you? You haven't got any freedom. So, similarly, the dream state is under Krishna's control. Please remember that. Krishna is controlling our dream, how long you should stay in the dream. And what you should experience in the dream, whether good or bad, that is also in Krishna's control. So, Krishna said to this devotee, "What's your program?" he said. He couldn't say anything. He was thinking in his mind, Krishna knows, even if you think inside something, Krishna knows what's going through your mind. So he was thinking, "What have I done? I have finished Bhagavatam, now I can go. I'm finished now, I don't have to do anything." Krishna says to him, that why did you minimize 11th canto like this? Why did you minimize the 11th canto like this? So, conversation went on between this devotee and Krishna for quite some time. Krishna kept him in that dream stream to continue the conversation. He had no freedom to do anything. He says to him, that why did you minimize 11th canto? The devotee says to Krishna, "Well, the matter, what you have spoken there is beyond my capacity to write about that. I cannot write it because I don't have the ability to summarize that what you have spoken there. It is so deep, the subject. It is so deep," he said. Krishna says, "But you have done 10 cantos. Why couldn't you do the 11th canto also?" He says to him, Krishna says, he says to Krishna that, "I have done the 10 cantos because I was enjoying doing that, but 11th canto is too complex for me to handle. It's beyond my capacity." He kept insisting like that. Krishna says to him, "What do you want from me to do that? To write the 11th canto?" Because Krishna was pleased with his commentary up to the 10th canto. That's what he said to him. "What do you want from me to do that?" He so says to Krishna, the devotee said to Krishna, that when you spoke this 11th canto to Uddhava, when you spoke 11th canto to Uddhava, 5,000 years or 4,000 years back, whenever that happened, you must have thought in your mind, Uddhava should understand up to this much of what he has spoken. Is it not? Uddhava did not understand many things. Uddhava understood everything only because of Krishna's mercy. Just as I mentioned before,
തേഷാമേവാനുകമ്പാർത്ഥം അഹമജ്ഞാനജം തമ നാശയം ആത്മഭാവസ്തോ ജ്ഞാനദീപേന ഭാസ്വത.
ദാറ്റ് നോളജ് വിൽ കം ടു അസ് ബൈ കൃഷ്ണസ് മേഴ്സി, നോട്ട് ബൈ അവർ എഫേർട്ട്. യു ക്യാൻ കീപ് ഓൺ സ്റ്റഡിയിങ് ബുക്സ് ഹോൾ ലൈഫ്. യു നോ വാട്ട് ദേ സേ അബൌട്ട് സ്റ്റഡിയിങ് ബുക്സ്? ശബ്ദജാലം മഹാരണ്യം ചിത്തഭ്രമണ കാരണം. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് എ ബിഗ് ഫോറസ്റ്റ്, ദി ബുക്സ്. ബുക്സ് ആർ എ ബിഗ് ഫോറസ്റ്റ്. And what will happen? Chitta Brahmana Karanam. One day you will go crazy at the end. If you keep on studying books, thinking that that will bring the knowledge. Books won't bring you the knowledge. Krishna will bring the knowledge. That we have to remember. So that is why, along with studying books, reading Bhagavatam or anything, if the sadhana is not going strongly, realizations won't come. This is the point, what Krishna is driving at. The spiritual life is such, spiritual knowledge, whatever limited one has, if it is not put into practice in sadhana form, in his endeavor, in his sadhana, and which is executed priti purvakam, the success won't happen. That is the message. So, Krishna is saying here, Tesham eva anukambartam ahamajnanajam tama nashayami atmabhavasto jnanadibena bhaswadaha. That I will sit inside you and illuminate you with the knowledge what you need to know about me. That will come to you. Everything what I have spoken will be known to you. So when this was spoken to Uddhava, Krishna must have decided, let Uddhava understand everything. Therefore Uddhava understood it. Otherwise Uddhava won't understand. Uddhava knows that, Krishna also knows that. And this devotee also knows that. So he caught on that and he said to Krishna, that day when you spoke to Uddhava, you must have thought in your mind something, would you not? That so much knowledge Uddhava must have, so much renunciation Uddhava must have, so much devotion Uddhava must have. You must have thought that in your mind. He asked, this devotee asked Krishna, in the dream this is going on. Krishna says, yes, I had thought that in my mind. That is why it has happened like that. Similarly, if you think about me also in the same way, what you have thought about Uddhava, and give me that guarantee that you will in me shine forth and give me the understanding properly to explain that, then I will write the commentary. Krishna says, come back tomorrow morning and start writing the commentary, I'll be with you, he said. And only after getting this guarantee from Krishna, that commentary was completed of the 11th canto. So Krishna's way of working is different. Krishna's way of working is different. Our ability is very limited. We have very limited ability. What can we do? To understand a topic of Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita is beyond our capacity. With our limited senses, limited misleading mind and limited intelligence, how can we understand Krishna? How can we understand Krishna with our limited capacity? So that capacity to understand Krishna comes from Krishna. That's what Krishna is saying here. Teshamevanukambartam aham ajnanajam tama nashayam atmabhavasto jnanadeepena bhaswadaham. Jnanadeepam, the light of knowledge will shine that person. Krishna says, I will give that to him. So, in order to understand Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, what we require is Krishna's mercy above everything else. Not scholarship, not knowledge of the Shastram, not any books can help, commentaries can help. That is why it is spoken like this. Krishna's mercy and Krishna's mercy alone, that will illuminate us in the Shastram. That will give that knowledge to us. Even if you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find when the gopis, in the Bhagavatam 10th canto, there are so many of Krishna's childhood pastimes, then teenager pastimes, and then in the youthful pastimes in Dwaraka much later, isn't it? So you will see Vrindavana pastimes, and then Mathura pastimes, and then the Dwaraka pastimes much later. In all these pastimes, different devotees come and go, isn't it? For example, Vrindavana pastimes were fully with gopis, Krishna and the gopis. That was the Vrindavana pastimes. Plus, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, they were in the Vrindavana pastimes. When Krishna moved into Mathura, the mood of pastimes have changed. There, little bit of Vasudeva and Devaki, and then so many queens who are present there, their relationship with Krishna and pastimes in Mathura, which is not for a long time compared to the pastimes in Dwaraka. And when then Krishna moves into Dwaraka, the mood of pastimes have changed again. The personalities who came there later. You'll find that in the Mathura pastimes, Akrura was a important devotee who had performed his pastimes in Mathura. In Dwaraka pastimes, you see so many other personalities, the queens, Rukmini Devi, and so many Satyabhama and Jambavati and so many others who come in there. And also, you also see there the Shishubala, the Bahulashwa, Shrutadeva and the Brahmana, the king, and so many other great personalities, 16,108 wives of Krishna. They are all part of the pastimes in Dwaraka. So, in different places, Krishna's devotees were different. But you will notice one thing. Whether it is the gopis, whether it is Akrura, whether it is the Rukmini Devi or the queens of Dwaraka, whether it is Uddhava much later, ultimately Krishna has given them all knowledge at the end. Have you looked at it properly? You will find it. Even the gopis who had singing and dancing and enjoying with Krishna for 12 years in Vrindavanam, completely absorbed in Krishna and enjoying everything with Krishna. They had the closest relationship with Krishna. And gopis were invited into Samanda Panchakam. Later on you will find the end of 10th canto, when Radharani and all the gopis, Nandamaya, Yashoda Devi, all of them went to Samanda Panchakam. That is near Kurukshetram. And there, for the solar eclipse, when they arrived there, Krishna is meeting them again at this time. It was then that Krishna has given the knowledge to the gopis about, that is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, you can see there. So, Krishna blesses the devotee and he gives that knowledge at that particular appropriate time when he sees that the person has completely matured in his spiritual life. That is the point when he gets that knowledge. Whether it is Uddhava, whether it is the gopis, whether it is somebody else, it doesn't matter. That is the time his relationship with Krishna is complete and there is no more going back into the material consciousness or material life anymore. So in these situations you will notice why, what is this knowledge Krishna is talking about. Aham ajnana jam tamanashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvadaham. Atma bhavam means that the freedom from this material cage, this body, entanglement in this what we are, unable to get out of this, constantly endeavoring for this, but no success at all. But it will come one day when the devotee has pleased Krishna in all aspects. Priti Purvakam, he has served Krishna throughout life. And at one point when Krishna feels that person is qualified to receive that knowledge will come and no more bodily identity after that. He is released from that once for all. And that is the knowledge what Krishna is referring to. That these four verses, which are the seed verses in the Bhagavad Gita, as Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, that in these four verses that knowledge of Krishna is this. That understanding that our relationship with Krishna once for all. And once that relationship is firmly established, then there is no more Maya in that life anymore. Maya withdraws from that. Maya has no more role after that anymore with that person. His relationship with Krishna is firmly established. You see, his relationship with Krishna is firmly established. So, let's look at that. Tesham evanukam vartam ahamajnana jantama nashayam atmabhavasto jnana divena basvadaham. That, what does it mean when we say that Krishna has blessed me? What is that we are talking about, this blessing of Krishna? Often we say, we feel satisfied. Say if we, sometimes people identify Krishna's mercy in different ways. I know everybody does that. Sometimes people say, oh, I won a lottery, Krishna is so pleased with me. Otherwise how I would have won the lottery? This is how they are identifying Krishna with different things. But as far as the Bhagavad Gita is concerned, real Krishna's mercy is when this knowledge is given to us. What is that knowledge? Freedom once for all from this identity with the material body. Identity with the material body, that is finished, that is knowledge. And Krishna says, Nashayam Atma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhasvadaha. Once for all, this business is over. No more material body after that. That is what is more important. And for a devotee, a pure devotee, who has endeavored all his life in this direction, executing spiritual life, as Krishna has spoken, Priti Purvakam, he has performed that. For him, Krishna says, I am not too far from him. I am closer to him. He gets closer to me, I get closer to him. And at some point, when he, Krishna feels that he is qualified to receive that knowledge, automatically the knowledge is given to him. Otherwise, throughout whole life you can study book after book and engage in discourses and debates and everything what you can do, attend all seminars and conferences and everything, no matter what you do in this world, at the end, if it does not come from Krishna, it's not going to happen. This is the clear verdict in the Bhagavad Gita. Knowledge comes from Krishna. Krishna repeats that again and again. By Krishna's mercy, that will happen. So, teshamevanukambartam ahamajnana jantama nashayam atmabhavasto jnana deepena bhasvadaha. That jnana deepam, the light of knowledge, Krishna says, will come from me. Then, even in simple things, we can observe this, that it is Krishna who brings the knowledge to us, is it not? Without Krishna's, with Krishna's mercy, how can knowledge manifest in us? This example what we have discussed before, in so many instances, in Lord Brahma's prayers also. Rajva maher bhoga bhava bhavau yatha. That in the darkness, we saw the rope and misunderstood it as snake. Isn't it? But when, who gave that understanding it is a snake? Krishna has given that from inside. And who removed that? Krishna has removed that. When we realize that it is not snake, it is a rope, that changed our emotions also at that time. Who did that? Krishna has done that. So even on a small thing like this, if it can happen, that is the most important thing. Even on a very simple thing like a rope and a snake, if our knowledge has to change due to Krishna's mercy, what about the bodily identification? We keep saying, I'm not this body, I'm not this body, isn't it? Whole life I repeated it. But the end, still I'm this body very much. I'm not able to come out of it. So now you know why it is not happening. Yeah? That Krishna says, even a small thing like a rope and a snake, or a simple issues like that, if we need Krishna's help to come out of it, what to speak about coming out of the bodily identification? Is it not? Bodily identification is such a thing that unless there is, Krishna wants that to happen, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Therefore, by all our effort should be to please Krishna somehow. Material, this life in whatever form, whatever capacity we have, within our own capacity, if we try to please Krishna, that is what it is going to bring the result. Otherwise, organizations and institutions and politics and all these things won't bring Krishna. What will help Krishna at the end to realize is, what the truth is, if one is engaged in spiritual life, to reach the goal is requires is Krishna's mercy and Krishna's mercy alone, nothing else. So that's why these verses in the Bhagavad Gita is important. Tesham evanukam vartam ahamajnana jantama nashayam atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvadam. The other thing is, only when one comes to this point, that he will recognize that knowledge has come from Krishna. Only at that time he can recognize that. And the devotee will immediately recognize that only by Krishna's mercy I have come out of the material entanglement, of this material cycle of birth and death, or from the bodily identification. So, that is where, so far, an introduction to Vibhuti. This is what all these verses are. Introduction to Vibhuti. Vibhuti means opulences. Before going into the, when Arjuna heard all these things, so far what Krishna has spoken, I think it's about 11 verses. Yes, 11 verses Krishna has spoken so far to Arjuna. After hearing these 11 verses, you will find Arjuna is going to ask some questions to Krishna now. Arjuna is going to ask some questions to Krishna now. And if you read these verses, these questions, what Arjuna has raised to Krishna now, immediately you can see there, Arjuna has changed. Arjuna has changed. A big change in Arjuna, you will notice now, in these next two verses, which Arjuna is going to ask Krishna. And, along with those two verses, if we also don't catch up the mood of Arjuna, you won't understand what the next many verses in this chapter is about. Arjuna became so much overpowered by the message what Krishna has spoken so far, because Arjuna was a very intelligent person, intelligent in the sense, spiritually very vibrant, and had the good fortune or mercy of Krishna that he was able to receive that properly, and immediately it affected him. It affected him to such an extent that you will see in the next two verses how it manifested in him. The influence of Krishna's words on Arjuna. So, having studied Bhagavad Gita so far and having heard Bhagavad Gita so far, if we do not come to that understanding of Arjuna, if we do not think the same way Arjuna has thought about Krishna, and we are also able to see Arjuna's consciousness now, how he asked those questions to Krishna. From there, you will get a reflection of Arjuna's deep realization of Krishna's position. That's what has happened to Arjuna. Arjuna realized now who is Krishna. Earlier, Arjuna was thinking, Krishna is my friend. He is relative of me. He comes now and then to see me. We make jokes together. We make fun together. So many things Krishna, Arjuna was thinking like that. But after hearing this 9th and 10th chapter, particularly his last few chapters, Arjuna realized who is Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna is not something whom I thought before who he was. Earlier, when Ratham Sthabayam Achyuta, he says, Arjuna says to Krishna, bring down the chariot and park it there for me, he says. That's how Bhagavad Gita started, isn't it? If you remember. What did he say? Sena yorbhayor madhye ratham sthabayam achyuta. Achyuta, bring the chariot and park it there. Let me see. At that time, Arjuna was thinking, whole responsibility is me, in my head. Krishna's duty is to drive the chariot and park it there, wherever I tell him to do. This was the mood at that time. When Bhagavad Gita started, if you remember, that in the first chapter itself, Krishna, Arjuna says like this. And then after that, what did Arjuna say to Krishna? Loads of philosophy also. His philosophy after that. That he says to him, that what will happen to my family members, what will happen to women, what will happen to children, what will happen to the rest of the world. As though Arjuna was managing the whole world. Krishna had to live with all these things before he starts talking to him. So, from the second chapter you see, Ashochyananyashojastam. There itself, first thing, Krishna smashed his ego. Don't think that you are controlling anything in this world. It's me who is behind everything. So to establish that, it took right up to this point in the 10th chapter. That up to this 10th chapter, all Krishna was doing was establishing his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the nature of Arjuna as a living entity. What is Arjuna's position? It's not only to Arjuna this message is. It's to every single one of us who is thinking I'm running this world. To each one of us who is thinking that I am controlling this whole show in this world. Because that's what we all think, don't we? We think that because of us only this world is going on. So many of us have that feeling. So Krishna is saying to us, please come out of that and come to this consciousness what Arjuna has reached. Arjuna has by now realized that Krishna is the controller of everything. Except Krishna, nothing else exists in this world. Every living entity is nothing but part and parcel of Krishna. And all those living entities, all their activities, whether it is spiritual or material, whether it is spirit or matter, everything is under Krishna's control. To such a fine way, Krishna presented the whole facts in front of Arjuna and made him to realize this and gave that understanding to him. When Arjuna understood this, you will see that reflecting in his next two verses. Shri Arjuna Uvacha
Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adideva Majam Vibhum Ahustva Amrushaya Sarve Devarshi Naradastada Asido Devalo Vyasa Soyam Jaiva Bravishimeim. Then how far Arjuna has understood, you can see in these two verses. Arjuna is not talking like this anymore, like he talked, parked the chariot. No, all that is finished now. Now Arjuna is saying to him, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adideva Majam Vibhum. Look at that verse. Param Brahma Param Dhamam. Param Brahma is the Supreme Brahman. Krishna is addressed as Supreme Brahman. In the, you see, out of the three words, Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, they are all referring to Krishna, isn't it? They all refer to Krishna. Krishna's impersonal aspect is Brahman, and the localized aspect is Paramatma, and Supreme Personality of Godhead is Bhagavan. So, these three words are used freely in the Vedas, in the Upanishads, and in the Puranas and Itihasas also. These three words are used, but ultimately they all refer to Krishna. They all refer to Krishna. So, when it is addressed as Brahman, Parabrahman, it is referenced into the Vedas or in the Upanishads also. Atma is referred in the Upanishads as Atma also. So, Atma is nothing but the Parabrahman. It is mentioned as Brahman. In Puranas and all, it is addressed as Bhagavan. Krishna is addressed as Sri Bhagavan Vacha. You will find many places. So, Param Brahma Param Dhamam, the supreme abode of all the living entities, is Krishna. Arjuna is saying to Krishna like this, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, you are the supreme pure person, everything, highest, is you. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevamajam Vibhum, and it's a supreme personality, eternal, and who existed from the very beginning, who always existed. Adidevamajam Vibhum. And then, in order to corroborate that, what else did he do? Ahustva Amushaya Sarve Devarshi Naradastatha Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Bravishimim. All the great sages, Ahustva Amushaya Sarve, all the great sages have accepted you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna is saying here. So, if Arjuna knew this before, he wouldn't have said like that to Krishna, would he? To park the chariot there, he wouldn't have said that. But here, there's change now. Ahustvam shaya sarve. All the rishis have spoken about you like that. Then, Devarshi Narada sada. Devarshi Narada. Narada has also spoken like this about you. Then, Asito Devalo Vyasa. Asitaha. Asita is another sage. Devala is another sage. And Vedavyasa Maharshi. All three of them has spoken about you in this way. So therefore, I have no more doubts about who you are. Arjuna says to Krishna like this, Asido Devalo Vyasa. Apart from that, what else? You have also told me who you are now. What is your real position is? I have understood now from you who you are. Swayam Chaiva Bravishimim. That. So, I was so fortunate, Krishna says, Arjuna says like this. These verses will reflect what is the knowledge in the Upanishads. Upanishads knowledge is what this is. This presentation in the Bhagavad Gita of these verses is just like in the Upanishads. What Arjuna has spoken. That all the great sages, because while Arjuna is quoting the sages, Arjuna has quoted the sages. Why? It is through sages we have the Vedic knowledge, isn't it? Vedic knowledge had come to us through the great sages. Through the great sages. For example, the knowledge is very important as far as the spiritual life is concerned. Without that knowledge, what the sages have given to us, we will not go very far in spiritual life. It will remain very much a sentimental thing. Sentimental thing. And those who have rejected knowledge, or Vedic knowledge, they will not be welcomed. On a long time, they will lose out. They won't be able to survive on that. Because that won't last long. The knowledge is that is driving the spiritual life, not the individual. That's not so important. It's the knowledge that is driving. In fact, while we are discussing about Buddhism, Lord Buddha, who is an incarnation of Krishna, but in his activities, he went against the Vedic injunctions, Vedic knowledge, the knowledge of the sages. What the sages have given to us, Buddha has totally rejected it.
And in spite of the fact that Lord Buddha, in established incarnation of Krishna, mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and many people accepted Lord Buddha's injunctions, Lord Buddha, although all other incarnations of Krishna is worshipped, Lord Buddha is not worshipped. What was the reason behind it? Because Lord Buddha rejected the Vedas. The fact that Lord Buddha rejected the Vedas, Buddha is not more anymore an authority on spiritual life for the followers of Vedic culture. So therefore, the knowledge in the Vedas goes side by side with whoever spoke the knowledge from the Vedas. It doesn't matter whether it is Lord Ramachandra or Shri Krishna, Supreme Personality. They also follow that tradition. They will not deviate from that under any circumstances. Because these great sages, through their endeavor, through whom Krishna has revealed the knowledge, Krishna accepts them as authorities. And their words will always be respected and adhered to. There will be no deviation at any cost. So whenever there is a deviation from that, it comes back to that again. It does not go away. Ahuswamashaya sarve devarshi naradasada asido devalo vyasa swayam chaiva bravishime. So the importance of the Vedic knowledge is stressed there again, that only with their approval, Krishna's position is understood. Otherwise, Krishna is not understood. Nobody can understand unless one goes through the Vedic literature. That is also is covered in that. We'll discuss it next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.